Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Viewer voice messages. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing the viewer voice messages, the dozens that we have, and we are starting off with Aura Child J.
Hey, James. How's it going?
What's up? How's it going?
Appreciate you for everything that you do.
No problem.
Face of the franchise. I look for your videos every single morning.
Yes. And they're always there.
This on St. News. I love how you break down the team, how you're a fan and also like an analyst. And to me, you're like the best guy to do it on YouTube. So I appreciate you so much, man.
I mean, I could end the call right now, and it's the call of the day. I mean, unbelievable stuff. I appreciate you. Thank you very much for the kind words. It is a unique blend, I think that's why we dominate the space, is that, you know, it is, you know, I'm a fan, but I also come at this from a bit of a different angle and try and provide as much fair and balanced commentary and analysis as we can. So I'm glad it's appreciated, and I appreciate each and every one of you.
But I wanted to get into, like, basically, like, the identity crisis, which I feel is what the Saints are struggling with. We haven't had a true identity since Drew Brees retired, hence why I feel like Sean Payton left. And I feel like we were so spoiled to have Drew Brees and Sean Payton at the helm that it's like everything after became like, oh, this isn't enough. Like, blow it all up. This isn't enough. Blow it all up. And it's like no one was ever really patient with the process. And that's why, like, the top of the top with Mickey Loomis and the owners, they never went into a full rebuild as early as they should have because they felt like they were going to lose the fans. And then it's like now they're losing so much fans, and like fans are calling to like throw the team away and like all this stuff. And it's like, it's not every coach that could just come in and have a 10-6 season from the jump. Like, yes, we were spoiled with that with Sean Payton, but even after the 10-6 season, Sean Payton basically like had a negative season. Then he had like an 8-8 season, and then he went again and started being like 11-5 or anything like that, 11-6. And then he went back to being like in the bat, like negative, or like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I mean, he also had 3 consecutive 7-9 seasons with Drew Brees in his prime. So, I mean, you know, the further away you get from that era, I think the more, you know, the negative gets kind of pushed under the rug and whatnot. The rebuild and all that stuff, like when you should have rebuilt, when you shouldn't have rebuilt. It's difficult. I definitely don't think you rebuild or you decide to rebuild or whatever immediately after Brees, because you still have Sean Payton. You still have like the entire team. You still have all those young guys, the core group of players like Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore. Like your team is still good. And at that point you're thinking, yeah, Brees is leaving, but if we can figure that part out, then we're rocking and rolling. And then it just gets derailed with injuries and turnover, like Peyton leaving and the Winston injuries. And then it's like, all right, well, now we got to figure out what we're doing with the coaching and also the quarterback. That kind of happens sporadically. And then I think Dennis Allen, I think we ran into a situation where they can't rebuild, or he's not going to rebuild because he's about to get fired. So he throws the Hail Mary of Derek Carr. Now, that's, you could absolutely argue at that point, it's like, all right, you maybe you should have rebuilt and just fired Allen, you know, cleaned house. But even then, if you're looking at the roster, you can still trick yourself into thinking, well, I mean, we have Alvin Kamara and DeMario Davis and Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Thomas and Chris Olave, and, you know, we've got a good defense, and we've got Dennis Allen who's been running this good defense. I could see even then where you're like, damn, if we just get a quarterback here, maybe we can compete. And I've said it a million times. With Pete Carmichael, with Dennis Allen, with Derek Carr, whatever, in that first season, they tied for the division. They blew an 18-point lead when Derek Carr gets hurt in Green Bay. If they don't do that, they're a 10-win NFC South champion. You know, so it's kind of hard to expect the front office or the coaches to have said, all right, blow it up, when in reality they were competing. And in reality they were a 9-ish, 10-ish win team. And then all hell broke loose, and you know, we know, you know, Allen gets fired and Carr gets hurt and Thomas gets hurt and, you know, all everything that happened and whatever. But, you know, Ramczyk medically retired, like all that stuff happens. But I just don't think there was a good time beyond right now to like fully hit the rebuild. I just don't think it was ever actually possible until everything happened the way it happened, and it kind of forced ourselves into a rebuild.
It's like, I feel like the teams were so, like, the fans, we were so spoiled to have them that now everything is just, like, trash. Everything's like, oh, no, this isn't good enough, like, drop this. But it's like, I feel like the fan base also has to be patient, but I don't know, like, if that's part of, like, why Kellen Moore and, like, the team isn't delivering as much, because it's like they feel that pressure from the fan base that it's like, oh, you have to be perfect or we don't like you. We're not going to be fans of this team. So I just wanted to know, like, do you feel like the same way, that it's like we were so spoiled to have Drew Brees and Kellen Moore, and now that's the reason why the fan base just isn't, like, settling for, like, having the team rebuild and, like, isn't, like, patient with it? And is could that be a reason why, like, the team is, like, probably feels more pressure and isn't delivering? Because it's like, all I see is, like, an identity crisis. And, like, also I think that maybe in the trade deadline we should have offloaded way more players. Like, even if it would have hurt, I feel like Alvin Kamara should have probably been.
Well, you never know who's willing to do what, you know, like, it always takes two to tango. You know, you got to have a roster, you got to field. Yeah, Alvin's a good example of, like, if we were playing Madden, yeah, you'd probably trade him. But he's a human being, and the locker room has human beings in it, and the fans are human beings. And sometimes having a veteran, having a leader, having your guy, your talisman in the locker room, not only is he's also your starting running back, but at the time, at least. I know he's hurt, but, you know, like, is that worth trading for a fifth round pick or whatever? Probably not. You know, like, yeah, it's a big contract. Yeah, he's on the downside of his career or whatever, but I don't think you just trade players just for the sake of trading players like you would in Madden. You know, in Madden, it's like, yeah, they're all just numbers. They're all just ratings, whatever. Like, trade everyone. Who cares? You know, they're simulated people in the stands. Like, it's not, you're not actually worrying about fans or your locker room morale or any of that stuff.
Offloaded, I feel like. Probably DeMario Davis. I don't know how long these players have, but it's like, we're obviously not where we want to be, and these players aren't going to be the change in, like, us getting to a Super Bowl. Like, we definitely need more than DeMario Davis. We need more than just an Alvin Kamara, and, like, we need draft picks. But thank you so much, James. I appreciate you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate the call. Good call. A lot of good questions. I mean, look, there is a, like, philosophical side of it, of, like, why, like, I know a lot of Saints fans say, like, well, they were just spoiled because it took 15 years of Drew Brees and Sean Payton or whatever. I think a lot of the negativity or whatever is that, with some fans, and this is every team, this is every sport, you know, whatever, But it's either Super Bowl or bust. And anything besides a Super Bowl, a playoff, a division championship, anything besides that is like hard failure, just a flat out failure. So if you look at it through that.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Lens, then, yeah, we have been a failure since Breeze retired. But certain teams in certain situations, if you're 9-8, if you're a 10-win team, if you're, you know, in the mix, you're relevant, whatever, like, that's not a failure. You know, and so, like, the way I look at it is that the Saints have really only been bad, like, truly bad, with Sean Payton leaving, with Drew Brees retiring, with all the injuries, with whatever, this year and last year. Like, 9-8, to me, like, is that a disappointing season? Yeah, of course you want to win more. Of course you want to, you have aspirations or whatever, but I don't look at it. I remember last year having people say, like, the previous season, which would have been the 9-8 year, was their the worst season they can remember. I had people telling me in calls and all kind of stuff, like, last year was the hardest year as a Saints fan. It's like, we were 9-8. You know, like, Carr got hurt a couple of times. We dropped those games. Who knows? I mean, you know, so it all depends on your perception. It all depends on how you view the whole thing. Last year, another good example. Last year is a total wash. Everyone's so hurt. You fire Allen. Like, it's just an insane year. It's just a crazy year. But if you just see 5-12 and you're like, nah, this was ass. It's like, well, I mean, there's a lot going on there. You know, like, all the injury, like, you know, that's not just, it's the same with the 49ers. The 49ers last year were a 6-1 team. Every single person on the team was injured. It's just a wasted year, right? Now, the difference is, then the Saints hit the rebuild button, okay? So then the Saints say, you thought last year was bad? We're cleaning house. We're rebuilding. We're trading players. We're sellers, okay? They sell Marshon Lattimore. They sell at the deadline again this year. Like, now it's like, you want to see bad. This is bad, right? And then when you actually are bad, and the Saints are bad, and then when you actually are bad, but you've had this, like, fake bad, you thought you were bad, right? 9-8 seemed bad. LOL. Try this, right? So it just makes it, it kind of changes the perception of what's actually been happening. This year, bad, all right? I would say this year, bad. Last year, injury. Year before that, again, 9-8, like, tie for the division. Yeah, you're not going to hang a banner, but it's not that bad. The thing now, though, is you don't want to be in this spot for a long time. Good organizations will have these kind of years, like the Eagles did when they were drafting second overall or whatever and took Carson Wentz. Like, you have these years where you do reset, the window closes, but then you reopen it, right? You have, like, one or two down years. Like, this is the down year, right, for the Saints. Next year needs to be that, like, upswing of that 5, 6, 7, 8 win kind of world. And then, oh, now you're back to relevancy. What you do not want to do is do what bad teams do, which is you just sit in that bad world. And you're just 2-win, 4-win, 5-win, 3-win, 5-win, 3-win, 5-5, 5-6, 6-7, 6. And you're just that for 10 years. So you do got to have, like, a long-term vision with this thing right now. And it's all baby steps. We got to see positive steps in Miami. and then the next game, and then to finish the season, and then a good draft class, and then a good free agency class, and then next year. Like, this is a long burn for sure. But if you're just looking at the results, strictly from wins and losses, and you're looking at last year as just a blanket 5-12, and now you're looking at this year like a blanket 2-9, yeah, I mean, I could see where people are like, this is garbage. But it is a complicated situation for sure. All right, next up, good call. Next up is the Cool Sports Rhymes guy.
What's going on, James?
What's up, man?
First thing is, I get what you are saying about the reviewing of the play calls or the non-calls. And I can kind of agree that it may open up a can of worms when it comes to some of the calls, especially holding. Because I know it's been said that you can pretty much.
Yeah, he's referencing his last call last week or the week before was about should every penalty be reviewed or every play or whatever. And I said that's kind of a can of worms you don't want to open
up. It's fine holding on almost every play call. And then I guess when you slow things down on the offensive line, you could see what goes on, and you could probably pinpoint or pick something that could be holding. But I still have mixed feelings about it, though, because, like I said in the other video, I don't believe that it would make the game super longer, because each team only gets 3 challenges a game anyway, and then 2 minutes or less, coaches can't throw challenges. Everything has to be reviewed from up top. And then you could also argue that even if it does make the game a few minutes longer, I'm saying, wouldn't you rather the calls be right or to be called as fair as possible? As a fan, I guess it's super frustrating when these referees make some of these horrible calls.
Yeah,
I'm saying not mentioning that no call against us in the championship game against the Rams 2018, but
yeah.
Earlier in this season, I'm sure you remember Carl Granderson got robbed of a sack.
Oh yeah, the rough in the passer.
And I'm trying to remember who was against.
It's got like 80,000 views
against Jackson Dart. I'm not sure,
yeah,
but
it was.
I think it was, but he got robbed of a sack. And not only did it rob him of a sack, even though we ended up winning that game, what if we would have lost that game? And that was a big factor in us losing the game. But I don't know. I guess it'll continue to be a touchy subject. Maybe they can make everything reviewable except holding. I don't know. But that's the end of that topic, or enough of that topic. Man, the game against the Falcons was horrible.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not even necessarily disappointed in the loss. Or I am disappointed in the loss, but I'm more disappointed in how we lost and how bad we looked.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
But this game against the Falcons is kind of a microcosm of kind of how this season has gone. And it's kind of like what you said in one of your videos earlier in the year, where it's kind of like this season has almost kind of like been like a circus, kind of like a blooper. Like, this season should almost be like in like the bloopers or something like that. Like, just the way things have been happening in a lot of these games. Like, you can hear like when it comes to this Falcons game, you can hear the music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara and Tyler Shuck fumble the ball, first possession of the game.
Yeah, Groupie misses field goals.
Blake Groupie misses a field goal. Blake Groupie misses another field goal.
Yeah.
Ball snapped over Taysom Hill's head. Then he throws it away, gets called for intentional grounding. You get the point.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But, that's kind of how, like, this season is going. But, man, it's just sad, just disappointing. It's almost like we take one step forward and then take 2 steps back.
That's how this one felt.
When it comes to Kellen Moore and the coaching staff, in particular Kellen Moore, I think Kellen Moore needs to be given 3 years, though. I mean,
yeah,
the people that are talking about firing him now or after this.
Nah, that's crazy. Firing him now is crazy. He's going to get a minimum of 2 years. And then there will be like an actual conversation of if he's the right guy or not. But – yeah, firing him now is crazy.
Season that they need to calm down on that. I mean, you need to give him at least 3 seasons. Then by that point, he'll be in had 3 drafts.
Yeah.
And a few off seasons to acquire where we can acquire talent. Hopefully, enough talent to where we can be more competitive. Then after that third season, if things are not improving and if we're not becoming close to being playoff contenders again, then maybe you could say he's not the one.
Yeah.
And we can start looking for another coach. But anyway, that's all I got for today, man. As always, enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, Cool Sport Ryan's guy always has very solid takes. Like he's seeing things clear for sure. Next up, Simon.
All right. What's up, James?
What's up, man?
It's Tuesday afternoon. It's about 1 o'clock over here.
Happy Tuesday.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
First and foremost, I just want to thank God that we did not sign Justin Tucker to the practice squad. I get it. He's one of the most accurate kickers of all time, but I don't think we needed any more bad press.
Yeah, that was a good PR decision to go with another option for sure. I mean, you know, if I think going the Cade York direction, just PR wise, I think was smart.
I honestly did not think we needed that. If you remember at the beginning of the season or the off season, there was like this scandal again that got brought up from like, I forgot, was it 2013, 2014 or something? Like, I forgot. But yeah, there was a whole scandal with that. I think you had touched on it too, maybe with like some, like a Catholic priest or whatever, you know,
the saints. Yeah. Over the,
and I think Gail Benson was backing one of the priests. She was in the guy's corner or it was something wild. But Richard, though, thank God we didn't do that. We did not need any more bad press. We signed LSU kicker
Cade York.
His first name, I think, is Cade.
Cade York Peppermint Patty. Cade York Peppermint Patty mayonnaise would be one hell of a like before and after Wheel of Fortune puzzle.
That we
before and afters are difficult. You know, that's the ones where you got to connect kind of two separate phrases with one term, and that's doing it twice there. Cade York Peppermint, Patty, Mayonnaise, Doug Funny, of course.
Signed, and honestly, I do not care if he is good or
the hell
not.
Was I talking
I'm
about?
More happy that, or I am happier that we got rid of Blake Groupie. See what you got in whatever kicker. You know, kickers come a dime a dozen.
Yeah,
Blake Groupie was overdue. So yeah, I'm good that he's out of here. So, next, I kind of want to get back on the Kellen Moore thing. I do want to give him a little bit of grace in some things because he's done good with fixing problems. I think he's done good with fixing problems. You know, there was the penalties that got cleaned up. You know, there was other issues too. It got cleaned up, but it's the same.
The only thing that hasn't gotten cleaned up is us scoring points.
Problem
that's really
kind
it.
Of been,
which is you know
hurting
big
us.
Big part of the
it's
game
in the red zone. Whenever we get into the red zone, we just can't score. At first, it was an issue where we can't move the ball, but then we started to move the ball.
Yeah.
So we've been moving the ball down the field. It's just whenever we get in the red zone, you're just having a problem scoring. Now, last game we was on the 1 yard line. I just think that Kellen Moore needs to get out of his head.
Agreed.
I've heard some people say that, and I do believe that.
Yeah, me.
And, I mean, here's another thing. Like, you know, whenever Drew Brees was on the goal line, he would jump over the goal line, stick the ball out while he's jumping. It crosses the end zone. It's a touchdown.
Yes.
Tyler Shuck is 6'5", 6'4", something like that. Let him do that.
That's what I said.
If you don't want them to pass the ball.
Yeah, do that. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Just let them do that.
You're on the half-yard line.
That's better than any Taysom Hill thing.
Hell yeah. Yes.
You know,
agreed.
It's been failing.
100% agree.
Taysom Hill thing.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, Kellen Moore will do better if he gets out of his own head.
100%.
I mean, there's only one or two things that can happen. He fixes it or he just doesn't fix it. And then,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Move on.
There it is.
But man, if he don't fix it, that'll be a grueling, long process
suck.
For us as Saints fans.
Suck.
My God.
Yeah.
So hopefully he fixes it.
Please.
But yeah, I just think he just gets in his own head.
I agree.
Know, just, you know, be simple with it. Run the ball. Give it to Tyler Shuck. Let him do the QB sneak. Let him do the Drew Brees dive.
Yeah.
Let him do that.
Couldn't agree
but
more.
Yeah, that's kind of what I have though. I think Kellen Moore just is he's a little bit in his stubbornness right now. And I guess
I don't think he's stubborn. I think he thinks that he's doing the efficient thing. He thinks he's doing the 400 IQ thing. And he might even be, you know, like it might be the right thing to do to have the extra blocker in there on the Taysom Hill run. You know, but at a certain point, it's like we're saying, even if it's maybe more efficient or more advantageous or whatever to do what he's doing, then the Tyler Shuck just jump over boop thing. Like the other thing's not working. You know, like let's get back to basics. Let's try some of the simple stuff before we get into the super complex stuff. You know, and That's kind of where we're at right now. Where we got to be able to do the simple stuff before we do the ultra complex, ultra high IQ thing.
This is the year to do that. To try to make whatever you got going on work, but at the same time, it's like, all right, you're seeing that it's not working.
I mean, this is another metaphor, but like, let's say you're cooking, right? And you're cooking just like, I don't know, like a steak or something simple. And it's like, well, if you really want to make it good, you should let it sit out and, you know, rub it down with salt and pepper. But you can't use this salt. You got to go get this kind of other salt. And then you got to let that salt, you know, sit under water for an hour. And then you rub the meat and then you let that sit for 4 hours. And then you don't want to use regular butter. So you want to make garlic butter. So you got to get regular butter, put fresh garlic in it, chop up the fresh garlic, you know, put it in a food processor, then double boil the butter with the garlic, then re-solidify the butter, then get that to rub it on the steak. And it's like, yeah, that might make a better steak, but that's just real complicated for what I'm trying to do right now. You're like, how about I just cook a steak normally? It takes me 20 minutes. I got the stuff here in the fridge. It's going to take me like two plates. Like, I don't have to dirty all these dishes. The other way you're doing it, you're buying a food processor. You're dirtying 20 different plates. It takes 10 hours. You know, like, is it better at the end of the day? Probably. But for what I'm trying to achieve, let's just keep it simple. And I feel like that's where Kellen is right now, where he's doing this, like, ultra-optimum way of doing things, but in reality, for what we're trying to do, he just needs to do, like, the quick and dirty, quick and simple style of doing
it. So let's not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Let's try to actually put Tyler Shuck on the field in the red zone, because this is about development.
Or let's just throw it in the end zone on the red zone. How about that? Like, think about it. How often have you seen in the red zone? So from, like, let's just say starting at the 25, let's make this easy. From the 25 in, at any given point, doesn't have to, you know, any given point, how many times have you seen Tyler Shuck throw the ball where the ball crosses the plane? Into the end zone, not throws it like on a 5-yard screen that then goes in the end zone. I'm talking about he throws it into the end zone. I can't think I really can't think of that many times. That's wild.
Developing our new guys, right? And the most important position at QB, we're not seeing his development because he's not on the field in the red zone, right down on a 1-yard line, 2-yard line. Let him get his chance, man.
So Nick talks about this, Nick Underhill, and I agree to a certain extent, where he's like, I would rather Tyler Shuck throw an incompletion than Taysom Hill run the ball for 3 yards. And I understand that. You know, it's like, And that's throughout the whole phase of the game. I'm trying to think. I think it was against the Rams where Taysom had first down, second down, and then they brought Tyler Shuck in on like third and seven. It's like, that's not good for anybody. You know, if you're going to do that, just let Tyler play the entire possession. You know, so I don't know if this is just trying to fit Taysom into this and it's just not working, but I agree. I think, but it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like keep things simple where let's just kind of forget the Taysom stuff, except for like maybe a handful of times a game. And then, like short yardage. And beyond that, let's just run our offense.
You know, Taysom Hill is probably not going to be on the team next year. Just let him get his chance. That's what I got to say about that. Thank you for your time, James. But, yeah, keep on doing a good job.
Thank you, man. Simon nailed that one. I mean, Simon basically said exactly what I'm thinking. So, good stuff.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Simon's seeing things clear, too. All right, next up is Anonymous.
What's up, James?
What's up, man?
Skrmetta.
How's it going?
Face of the franchise, my guy.
The one.
Just got done watching the Saints and Falcons game.
Oh.
And there are so many holes on this team. Pause.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah, the first person I want to start off with, that I guess I really feel like no one is talking about is Kool-Aid. I made a previous call talking about how he just gets embarrassed out there against every team's wide receiver one, and he really does just get completely embarrassed. But after this game, he got embarrassed by, and of all people, Darnell Mooney. Got absolutely cooked by Darnell Mooney.
It's crazy because if the Saints, if their cornerbacks, any of them, get stuck in a man situation or one-on-one situation, bad.
Yeah, he made a nice pass breakup for a Justin Reed interception, which I believe was pure luck.
Well, Stutzman had a hell of a pressure on that one. Yeah, it was a
nice play, but then 5 minutes later, not 5 minutes, but you know what I mean, he gets absolutely cooked by Darnell Mooney. Yeah. He's inconsistent. He feels incompetent, basically. And Cesar Ruiz, too. Just horrible.
Yeah.
Picked him in the first round, and he plays like he's still in high school football. James Pierce Jr. made him look like a complete clown, and then it allowed for Tyler to get sacked. I mean, they're both just so inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's really embarrassing. And also, Blake Groupie missing these field goals, it baffles my mind. He's in a dome. Majority of the games are in a dome where there is not a lick of wind. Nothing is touching the football. And he is still missing field goals.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, like sometimes you just get the yips, and he just straight up has the yips.
I don't understand. You're in a dome where there's nothing. There's no weather component that is affecting the football that he has to worry about.
Yeah.
But he still misses. And the last thing I want to talk about is the Taysom Hill goal line packages. We drive all the way down the field. And then we decided to put in Taysom Hill, which I have nothing against Taysom, but these packages, I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like they're just throwing everyone off.
It's very disjointed.
They're just throwing off the momentum that we took all the way down to the goal line to score the ball. But no, we got to put in Taysom to draw up this scheme of QB power. And then for the one time we do this QB fake power, whatever, throw it to the Vele, and Taysom only has one route to look at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. That's easy for a defense to pick up.
Well, that play is the classic overthinking, where it's like they think I'm going to run Taysom quarterback power, so I'm actually going to run a Taysom quarterback bootleg. And it's like, well, maybe you should just run the quarterback power. You know, like, he's in there for a reason. If you're not going to, just do a different play.
Get it. These Taysom Hill packages are good for like 4th and inches, 4th and 1.
Are they, though?
In the middle of the field if we're backed up, probably.
Are they?
Not on the goal line package, because it's pretty predictable when Taysom's in there.
Kellen Moore would argue that's why he did the quarterback bootleg, because like, yeah, it's predictable. They think they know it's coming, so I'm gonna zig when they zag.
Every defense knows. Oh, number 7's in at quarterback. Yeah, he's probably gonna get the ball and run.
That's exactly. I know I just said this, but that's exactly how Kellen gets in his own head. It's because he thinks exactly that. They see 7 back there. It's 4th and 1. I'm on the 1-yard line. They're going to bite on this. I'm going to do a bootleg off of it, and he can either run or throw to Devon Vele. So in his mind, he's thinking, this makes perfect sense, right? And I've had a bunch of callers say that exact same thing, where it's too predictable, it's too predictable, it's too predictable. That's where Kellen's getting himself into trouble, where he's trying to think 2 steps ahead. He's thinking, it's too predictable, so I'm going to call it. They're going to think it's predictable. Then I'm going to call the unpredictable, and then it's going to work. And by that time, it's too complicated. We're too far down the rabbit hole.
So, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of other stuff I could talk about, but this is just the main Kool-Aid Caesar and these Taysom Hill packages. They just really don't make sense to me. And, I really don't know what we're going to do. Pretty sad to watch. Very sad.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I agree with that.
But love the vids, man.
Thanks, man.
I don't know what we're going to do, but
got to keep on keeping on.
Man, you're awesome.
Thank you, brother. You're awesome. Thank you very much, Anonymous. I appreciate that. Next up, Podcast J, and it also says in the title, Life Update.
Podcast J.
What's up, man?
I'm back again. So I just watched the instant reaction from the video you dropped yesterday. Once again, it's still the same day, November 24th. It is now 2:53. Life update. Sitting on the toilet, man. I know the TMI. Who cares?
Damn it. Not like this. I mean, wash your hands, you know? This is a big moment for the channel.
Toilet thoughts. We are bros. We family.
It's okay. Yeah.
Let me look.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you overreacting just a little bit, but don't pause. The only reason is because I know we was all riding the high horse for 2 weeks.
I'll give him this. I was definitely about to pause.
Man, that might have been the greatest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
With this team since before Jameis Winston got hurt. I was floating on clouds.
Same.
But okay, this is what we're going to do. All right. Out of the starting, our O-line.
Yeah.
From left tackle to right tackle.
Okay.
Banks.
Yep.
It was Trail, McCoy, Ruiz, Fu. We still got KB.
Yep.
Penning is gone.
Yes.
Left guard was getting cooked. McCoy is gone.
Yep.
I think who, Fortner? I guess, man, 5 out of 10. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 6.
Average. Yeah, sure.
Cesar Ruiz.
Garbage.
Brother should go join a little shit there and be like, ole, with the little bulls and shit, because niggas,
the Matador.
Just run right past him. Like,
the Matador.
Mean, you get a sack. You get a sack.
Yeah.
And then Sam Richardson. Hell, he I can go game. Bulk for damn near a month and go hop on a right tackle and play better than that guy.
He had a bad day. Who the fuck is he?
So, we got that offensive line with no McCoy, Fu, or Penn.
Yeah.
All been replaced, plus Cesar Ruiz, who was a liability, going against they front that is absolutely healthy. They had that. Yeah. Their D-line was absolutely healthy with two.
Yeah, D-line was fine.
First round picks rushing.
A good pass rush.
David Onyemata, we know what he can do. We should never got rid of him. Honestly, we all love Onyemata. Come on, bro. Like that's our dog.
Yeah.
So it's like against that O-line. And we really can't say Shuck played bad.
No, Shuck's fine.
You got two first round edge rushers coming at him. Kelvin Banks had held his own the whole game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he really did. Now
he did good.
I think defense played all right. Ain't gonna
defense
lie.
Played
no.
good too, yeah. Wait. Besides one possession. They gave up like 90 I think they gave up like 90 plays or 100 yards or 90 or 100 yards in three plays. And one drive, they gave up the screen to Bijan and the pass to Mooney. But yeah, the defense was pretty good. I mean, they got a pick six. They had whatever it was, three sacks. You know,
with the offensive play calling, I mean, okay, we got Chris Olave out there. Like, that's literally all we have is Chris Olave out there. We can't expect him to do too much. He was trying.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give him a little more time maybe. Then we're talking about, well, he had time to prepare with the 2 weeks. Okay, but all those players that were out there, they're backups for a reason.
Yeah.
If they were any good as starters, they'll be on another damn team. Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a situation where it's like, damn. And I know you was like, maybe we do need to start questioning Kellen Moore. No, Podcast Jay. And you know I love you, Podcast Jay. It's just I got to give it to you raw.
Hold up. Come on. What are we doing here?
That boy, we got to wait, man. Let's let him get two more drafts under his belt. Let's wait. Because at the end of the day, these are not his players. The only players that he have are the ones he brought in from free agency and the draft. That's it. Like, so let's chill. All right. Let's just chill, man.
So I do agree with this. Okay. I do agree that and you know, maybe I've done some self-reflection. Maybe I have been hesitant to outright declare the roster or whatever is just kind of the issue right now, because you know it certainly was last year, and maybe it's like but when you look at it, especially in the Atlanta game, and you look at what we're doing and who's out there, like on the offensive line, and even the fact that Devin Neal is our starting running back and Devon Bailey is our number two and all this stuff, it's like maybe we are in a situation similar to last year where it's just a talent issue. And last year, I've talked about this a million times now, Kubiak out of a bye, okay. Kubiak had a bye week, and then he had the six worst games of the season. So, and that's when our roster was the weakest. And maybe that's where we're at now, where it is just a really weak roster. The only part that gives me pause is that when we had Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, when we had Talisse Fuaga, Kelvin Banks, when we had these guys, it was still offensively a chore. And it was still offensively And we still weren't doing anything in the first quarter or the first drive or the whatever. You know, like, so maybe it's like we started off slow and now the injuries have happened or trades or whatever to where the roster's kind of weak. And it's just more of the same, but for different reasons, I guess. So, but I do agree we got to give Kellen more time, and I'm giving him time. Don't get that misconstrued. But my whole thing out of the Falcons game was that was a bad look, and that was a failing grade. And yeah, you get more time. This isn't just one F and you're done. But it was definitely it's like the grade you get on your progress report or in the semester where they call your parents. You're not flunked out. You're not, you know, whatever. You can fix things, but they call your parents and say, "Hey, just so you know, he made a 17 on his history test. He's got time to pull the grade up, but good God Almighty!"
Please, I mean, Mason Tipton. I like Mason Tipton. I do. He decent, right? Yeah, the bug can ball a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Devon Bailey, get him implemented a little bit. Let's give him an off season to get right. Yeah, man. Plus, you know, the players we have, we just can't expect them to fit Kellen Moore's scheme and his style on the offense he wants to run.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it just don't work like that. He have to go, okay, in the draft, okay, this player in free agency, they fit my scheme on what I want to run based off the film that I see from them. They can run my scheme. He came into here trying to implement his scheme with players that probably just can't run his scheme.
Yeah, there's truth to that.
Let's chill. Please, Podcast G. Please, let's just chill. All right? We going to be fine. If it was a point in the game, I think, damn near, we could have been up, like, what, 19-16?
Yeah, and, you know, I've talked about that, too, in a couple of videos where it's like, man, you know, if we get 1.5 more yards and make the field goals, we win the game. And then we're not having these conversations, you know? So is that fair to Kellen that it's like, it's a complex situation. 100% agree. He's got to have more time. We got to be patient. But that was not a good look, and the Dolphins are this week. And we got to see something. You know, we got to see more than 0 points. We got to see a touchdown.
I do feel good about us being able to get down the field to the red zone. I feel great about that.
I agree. I agree with that.
Let's go get Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate, them Bell dude out of Louisville. Like, bro, yeah, let's go get one of them boys. You know what I'm saying? Let's go get us another little tight end or somebody. Juwan Johnson, I mean, he's serviceable. Let's not act like didn't bro was like a UDFA or some shit? This dude is not. Come on, bro. Like, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. We going to be fine. I guarantee you, we are still ahead of the rebuild. I believe in Tyler Shuck. I was riding high on Rattler for a long time, and I still like Rattler, but let's just give it some time, Podcast J.
Yeah.
From Podcast J to Podcast J, Scrametaverse is your world. We still just living in it.
Great call. Podcast J, he's another one. Calls, every time he calls, 10 out of 10. Well done. Well done, man. I mean, good stuff. 100%. Good stuff. A lot of wise words in there. All right, next up, Divine Eternity.
James.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
All right. Here we go. So I'm recording this a day after the game.
Tuesday, Monday.
We just lost to the doo-doo Atlanta Falcons. Honestly, in the middle of the game, it didn't really losing and then actually getting the actual loss. It didn't bother me the day of. I don't know, because I was distracted. I was helping with hosting a birthday party and everything.
Happy birthday to whoever.
I don't know if it had anything to do with that. I just remember feeling like I'm not surprised. I remember just feeling like same old Saints.
Right.
Like, this game looked no different than that Cardinals game, Bears game, Bucks game, Rams game, you name it. Pick your quarterback, same old, same old. I was not surprised. I was like, yeah, this is 2025 Saints football. But it didn't really dawn on me that we got our asses kicked by the Atlanta Falcons until I woke up this morning on November 24th.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. It was like all of a sudden I'm more aware. Like, I literally rose up out of my bed like, damn, we just lost that game.
Yeah.
And here we are starting on the Monday, the earliest part of the week, and man, it's like you got a long week ahead of you now, man.
Oh,
you
just
lost to the Atlanta Falcons at home in the dome.
Yeah.
And I guess it's time to play the blame game. Who fault is it? What's going on? But let's just talk about the problem at hand as far as the players. Dude, I am so over Blake Groupie. I don't want to hear nothing else about him.
I got good news for you.
2 years ago when he missed that field goal kick in Green Bay, I already, like, had him on my shit list, honestly. But everybody, he's a rookie, and the offense needs to be better, and Derek Carr sucks, and blah, blah, blah. Well, 2 years later, Blake Groupie is still Blake Groupie, who misses field goals and is Superman in the goddamn offseason. And I'm so tired of Blake Groupie, man. Like, I would literally drive 2 hours from Baton Rouge right now, burn my gas, and take this dude straight to the airport and kick him the hell out of New Orleans. And you know what? I love my team so much, I would do it for free. But enough of Blake Groupie. Get him off of my team. on to Kellen Moore. Man, his offense is, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if his playbook is either like just straight up boo-boo or our players is just straight up trash. Right now, it's just take your pick. But I don't know what it is. This is crazy after a bye that you put that kind of product on the field and look like that in front of your home stadium. And the crazy thing is I'm hearing people say, oh, well, Brandon Staley, he sucks, and the defense and blah, 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 and it's not Tyler Shuck's fault. The defense was good. And I'm like, dude, the defense was the only thing keeping us in the game.
The defense has sneaky been really good all season long. Like, they had a horrible day against the Bears, but overall, like, Staley should be given some serious kudos for how much he's done with his defense.
And once again, when the defense actually tries to look like a good defense, there is no offense backing them. And
yeah,
that's what happened in the Bears game. For a little while, that was going on in the Bucks game. And man, it just goes right back to Kellen Moore. Like, what the hell is going on, man? Like, and it's crazy how, you know, I mentioned that he should trust Tyler Shuck more. And I remember you brought up a good point that Shuck is changing out of plays. It looked like Shuck was changing out of plays to go right into the same play a lot of times, because he would be looking for Olave, and it's either behind the sticks because the defenders are like right there on him, or like it's just a deep ball going nowhere. But yeah, bro, I'm kind of over this, man. I'm like looking to next season already, but it is what it is. I'm still who that, man.
There you go. I understand it. I understand the frustration, and I don't blame you. I'm frustrated too. So, especially a call coming the day after the game. I remember the day after the game, I was still out. Absolutely. I was still very frustrated in the whole situation. All right, next up, Daniel Benitez Jr.
Hey, James. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How's it going?
This is Monday evening at about 6:20. Day right. after the Saints game. And I just want to start off by personally thanking the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans, mind you. So yesterday, Sunday, November 23rd, was my 28th birthday. I thank the Lord for that in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
I've got South Carolina in this game. Not good.
When you look at November 23rd, 1997.
You say it was your birthday?
I thank the Lord for that. And the New Orleans Pelicans, mind you. So yesterday, Sunday, November 23rd, was my 28th birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy late birthday.
Hey, I thank the Lord for that in the spirit of Thanksgiving. When you look at November 23rd, 1997, the day I was born, man, the exact day. Guess who the New Orleans Saints played that day? I was born on a Sunday on the Lord's Day. They played the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Mike Ditka was the head coach.
It was a tough situation here. You got a Clemson punt. They force a punt. 20-14. First play. Sellers throws a pick six. I mean, that's pretty tough there. Well, happy birthday, Daniel.
Saints go into the Georgia Dome and lose 20-3. So a couple things that are definitely similar about that game besides us losing to the Falcons, obviously. The Saints offense only scored 3 points. And guess who was the quarterback that day of the New Orleans Saints? Was none other than Doug Nussmeier.
Unbelievable simulation going on here. I mean, you're blowing my mind. You're blowing my mind right now.
Who's currently on the Saints offensive
coaching
staff.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is insane.
When I was talking to Atlanta Hawks fans on Saturday night, going to the Smoothie King Center to watch the Pelicans lose to the Hawks, and then going to the Caesars Superdome the next day to watch the Saints lose the Atlanta Falcons, I'm just like, hey, New Orleans Pelicans, New Orleans Saints. I was telling them, I'm being honest, both these teams are bottom of the barrel. They stink. Pelicans just got a new head coach. A lot of injuries right now. A young team, they're trying to identify themselves. New Orleans Saints, just a terrible roster in general. They think that throwing in Tyler Shuck is just going to go ahead and fix everything when this is just a sinking ship. It's a Titanic. There is no way to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. First-year head coach in Kellen Moore. still got to figure out your play calling issues, your red zone deficiencies. And so that's why I wanted to just point out that these fans calling Tyler Shuck the franchise and thinking that everything's all right and we beat the Carolina Panthers 17-7. Woohoo! That doesn't mean that it covers, I should say, all of the issues that are with this team. The offensive line is atrocious and there's plenty of injuries. The wide receiver core is definitely underwhelming. It really is.
Well, especially now. I mean,
Tyler Shuck, can we have more of a sample size of him? Because you know I'm a Spencer Rattler fan. I've called in before and said that. I rocked my gold Spencer Rattler jersey at the game yesterday.
That's standing in defiance.
Can we try to develop our quarterback and at least give him a better roster? Can we at least give Kellen Moore a full, true offseason to really evaluate this team, even though I hate in his press conferences he uses evaluate like it's his word of the day on a word of the day calendar. My goodness. So when I look at the Saints team, man, I knew we weren't going to win because we have a kicker in Blake Groupie that shouldn't be on the NFL in general. He shouldn't be on an NFL team, I should say. I don't know why Coach Moore decides to bench Spencer Rattler at quarterback, but doesn't hold seemingly any other position group accountable, doesn't cut, bench, or get rid of Blake Groupie when he's by far the worst kicker in the NFL in terms of kicking percentage. When you are, what, 36th in kicking out of 32 teams?
Yeah, tough look. When you're worse than the Argonauts or whoever they're throwing in there.
That's alarming. It really is.
Yeah.
Just like what's alarming on offense that when you have your kicker missing kicks and four times you got the ball inside the opponent's 30-yard line and you cannot score a touchdown. Okay? It's very frustrating to have to hear that when Spencer Rattler had two bad games that they're blaming it on him. And I said, you want to put in Tyler Shuck at this point of the season. You want to see what you got in a second-round pick on a quarterback, which is still very debatable at this point, and it remains to be seen. We got to see some more. But I said that this offense is still putrid. It's still boring. It's still abysmal. It's still lifeless. It's still very, very nauseating. Just like it's nauseating to have to hear Saints fans going into the Falcons game saying, we're going to beat Atlanta, man. We got this. Kirk Cousins is starting, not Michael Penix. They don't have Drake London. Just stop Bijan Robinson and we're good. And then I said, hold up now. Wait a minute. What about when we played the 49ers? Spencer Rattler threw for 200+, three touchdowns. We lost 26-21, but we played against backups. Mac Jones looked like Joe Montana. And they didn't have George Kittle, I believe, at the time, or Juwan Jennings. Similar type of concept. So I want to go ahead and end it on this. I'm almost at 5 minutes. Sorry, this was kind of long, brother.
All right.
But can we please stop with the black helmet nonsense? I like the look. Just
can't win it.
Don't have the weird fleur-de-lis pattern in the middle. Just do it like you did the white helmet with the simple stripe down the middle. So anyways, appreciate the content. Keep it up, man. And
thank you, man.
Let's see how the rest of this Titanic season goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And, you know, I mean, the Rattler thing, like, Rattler just got with the turnovers. That's it. If he doesn't do what he did in that stretch, he's probably still the quarterback. But it was just too many turnovers all at once. And, in that situation when you have someone breathing down your neck as the second round pick, hard to hold on to your job. But, it's just been bad all around. And I think people want something to believe in. So I think that's why you're quick to jump to Tyler Shuck's the man, Kellen Moore's the man, whatever, we're back. Because, you know, people desperately want to believe in something. And they desperately want to root for something. So, you know, but all right. Next up, Cool Sports Rhymes guy.
James Grameta, no other podcaster does it better. James Grameta, no other podcaster does it better. James Grameta, no other podcaster does it better. No other podcaster does it better.
What's going on, James?
Oh, what's happening, man? How you doing?
I had another question.
Go ahead.
This question is about Mickey Loomis.
Okay.
And I agree with what you have said about how he can't be given, he shouldn't be given the full blame for everything that goes bad or for every bad decision, and how he should be given some of the credit for the good decisions that have been made and some of the good things that have happened.
Yeah.
But I think that Gail Benson saying that he's doing a good job is not right, is wrong. I mean, in my opinion, you can't really say he's doing a good job, at least not lately.
See, that's the thing. I almost stopped and said that. If you're Gail, you're looking at this for the entire tenure of his career. So when she says he's doing a good job, she's not thinking about the last, whatever, 7 weeks, you know, the last 6 months. She's thinking about the entire time here. So if you look at it through that lens, it makes sense why she would say that.
Because this is going to be the fifth straight season where we have missed the playoffs, I'm saying, and since Sean Payton and Drew Brees have left. So to me, you can't really say he's doing a good job.
See, I think even then. See, that's where this gets mixed up too, because I would argue that that's a very tumultuous kind of time frame to go through, right? You lose Sean Payton, you lose Drew Brees, and then you still find a way to be relevant. I would say the Clint Kubiak hire was a great hire. I would say the Kellen Moore hire, we'll see, but I'm a huge fan of that hire. The draft class, great draft class. I would say the money management, like getting out of some of these contracts, saving some money here, some of that maneuvering, like, okay, you know, I mean, even though in those 5 years you haven't made the playoffs, but even to get back to relevancy to where you go 9-8 and you're tied for a division and you're in the hunt and you're a tiebreaker away from hosting a playoff game after just a couple of years after Sean Payton leaves, just a couple of years after Drew Brees retired, that's a difficult thing to do. You know, I mean, we saw what happened in New England whenever Belichick and Brady leaves. Like, and they still had Bill Belichick, and they were ass. They were horrible when Brady left. You know, then Belichick leaves and the Gerard Mayo thing, but it is very difficult to manage those situations. So I could certainly see where Gail's looking at this, or anyone would look at it and say, like, oh, I mean, you know, all things considered, okay. Right now, in this one snapshot here, yeah, this is not ideal. But even in that interview, she said, this, we have been upfront, this is a rebuild. So it's kind of graded on a curve. If you're at an ownership level, if you're thinking, well, this is going to be a bad year, we're rebuilding anyways, and then people say, are you concerned about the bad record? And it's like, well, not really. I mean, overall, like, yeah, we don't want to lose, but I'm not concerned about it. We are rebuilding. We've made that pretty clear.
And I kind of wonder if he was the GM of another team, if he would still have his job if he was the GM of another team. Because I think our team kind of, the front office is kind of almost like a family-oriented type of thing instead of being run like a business. And I kind of think maybe that might affect some of the decision-making with, like, just being a family-oriented type of thing, or treating it like as a family type of thing instead of more of a business. And not just with the front office decisions maybe, but also, like, when it comes to players. Like, maybe that's why they kept Blake, maybe that's why Blake Groupie was kept so long, I'm saying, because they really wanted to try to, well, let's try to let him work it out. If he's not doing his job, then he's not doing his job. But
I think that, I mean, double bladed there, where it's like, you don't want, I would rather be a patient franchise than a overly, like, quick to make a decision franchise. Like, I would much rather be on the side the Saints are on than, you know, the other. Like, where it's just like you're constantly turning over coaches and players, and you're releasing players and trading players. Like, everything's just, like, so volatile, you know? So, but the Saints are definitely one of the franchises that are probably the most loyal, I would say, and probably the most patient.
What are your thoughts on that? And, but at what point would you say that maybe Mickey should step down as GM or possibly be fired as GM? And And if would it happen? Would you think it should happen at some point eventually? And also, maybe the fans might have to step up. Us fans might have to step up if it does need to happen, and kind of do what happened with Dennis Allen, where we just maybe hold up signs at the stadium saying fire the GM or whatever, or fire Mickey maybe. But man, I just hope that we can get it together and hope that we can get back to being a playoff contender. Say whoever that is that can get the job done. But what are your thoughts on that? All right, as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Good call. I mean, I just think, like, right now, all right, if we just look at the team as is, I think if you're grading Mickey Loomis, he's almost, like, in the current situation, I don't see what would Mickey be, you know, like, what would he be hit for with this situation? Because right now you can't say Kellen Moore is a failure or a success. We know we are rebuilding, so you can't be like, well, the roster's not good. It's like, I know. We just traded away, you know, Rasheed Shaheed. Like, we are actively rebuilding. We know the roster's not good. We are actively clearing cap. We're doing all that stuff. So, and if you're like, well, the play calling, well, that's not Mickey Loomis. If it's, well, you know, the time management or the plays or the goal line or the red zone, so none of that's Mickey Loomis, right? The your question is, when should Mickey, I guess, be held accountable? If this whole thing fails, because then you have two eras or two windows that have failed. The Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael, and then Kellen Moore, and however this plays out. If both of those fail back-to-back, then, okay, he probably should be held accountable as far as, like, look, what's going on here, you know, but it's way too early to be doing that. It's way too early to be talking about that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of the issues, like, a lot of the issues with this team are somewhere in between the scheme and the personnel, as far as, like, the talent level, whatever. And the talent level thing can even be pseudo-excused because of the rebuild. And then the scheme might even be pseudo-excused because of the talent thing. But that's the beauty of having a rebuild and the beauty of having a super young situation. You got to give it time. And we've only had 11 weeks. So if we can't say Kellen Moore is a success or a failure, if we can't say this draft class is a success or a failure, how the hell can we say Mickey Loomis has failed with this hiring of Kellen Moore and Brandon Staley or whatever else? I mean, the defense has taken a step forward. The defense has been a success as far as, like, relative to last year. Certainly the run defense, right? So I don't think – I mean, I just don't see it. I know I'm in the minority with that, but we really are just evaluating. You know, we still are in this evaluation period, and yeah, it sucks to watch and it sucks to lose, but – I don't think anyone should be surprised that the roster is weak when you know we're in a rebuild. And we are, you know, we've back-to-back years. We've traded Marshall Lattimore, traded Rasheed Shaheed. Like, we're shedding cap. People are retiring. Like, people are hurt. I mean, it's just it is what it is, you know. But we can't be in that mode and then expect, like, OMFG, I can't believe we're in this mode, you know, when that's the plan. So... All right, Big K Superfan is the final call of the video.
What's going on, James?
What's up,
face
man?
Face of the franchise. Nobody does it better.
The best.
Big K Superfan calling back again. And honestly, I'm calling to get some frustration off my chest.
Go ahead.
Some more frustration.
Yeah.
Why not? It's a frustrating week.
Yeah.
I'm low-key on strike two with Kellen Moore. Let me tell you why. So I don't know how you feel about it or how the fans feel about it. Well, I kind of know how most fans feel about it, but the kicker decision really, really pissed me off. It really confused me. It's almost like Kellen got bullied out of what he actually wanted to do. And that makes me very angry. The fact that he was all on board with fixing this kicker thing and signing the greatest kicker of all time and not have to worry about this kicker thing for, I don't know, the next 3-4 years or whenever he felt like retiring. We could have literally not worried about this for a while. And maybe the decision wouldn't have made me so mad if we didn't sign Cade York. My problem with the Cade York thing is he's not much better, or let me stop being nice. He's worse than Blake. He's literally worse than Blake. And that's the part that just like, and it just makes it seem like.
By the way, this is breaking news, but Charlie Smith actually won the kicking battle, so he'll be kicking against the Dolphins, not Cade York.
Like, did you get forced into that? Because there's no way you're trying to tell me that Justin Tucker lost a kicking battle to Cade York. And the decision just shows me just like how not serious we are about like, or just. It just, to me, like, tell me if I'm tripping. Maybe
here's the reality of it. If Justin Tucker is a 75 overall and Cade York is a 70 overall and Charlie Smith is a 70 overall and Blake Groupie's a 71 overall, you're taking the 70 overall if you're not taking Blake Groupie just because of the PR. Like, this, I mean, look, this is real life. You know, like, this is a business and it is what it is. It's not just a game, right? Like, these are billion-dollar businesses with PR teams, and they do have to factor that in. This is the NFL. This is the New Orleans Saints. So if all things are equal, or even just a little less equal, they're going to go with the player or the signing or whatever that's not going to give them the backlash. They don't need the backlash. They're a two-win team. So, you know, I think that's why they didn't go with Justin Tucker. I'm kind of surprised they worked him out.
I'm just tripping. I don't know. But to me, it comes off as like, like, just unserious. Like, there's just no way you bring in. And then it's like, and I understand, like, the Justin Tucker, like, you know, all the stuff, you know, the suspension and the, you know, his personal, like, I don't know about it. All I'm talking about strictly the 60 minutes that we have to play on Sundays.
That's just not how decisions are made. You know, like, that's just not how this is. So I think that's probably why. I mean, even if it was just close, if Cade York and Justin Tucker both worked out and they were just kind of even, they're going to go with Cade York because of what I mentioned.
That Justin Tucker would have been quite literally the perfect answer to the kicking problems that we've been having. How many points have we missed on kicks this season? Like, what, 25, 30?
Groovy's missed 8. So 24.
Something like that. We could have put that to bed and just signed the greatest kicker of all time. But I guess, like, the media and all this extra stuff made him not want to. So basically you got bullied out of doing what you wanted to do with your own team.
I don't see it as being bullied or whatever. Like, if Tucker would have came in and just been that much better than York, I mean, they probably would have signed him. Like, they brought him in, you know, so they could have been too worried about it, just bring him in for a workout. But I think if it was even close, then, yeah, you go with I think it's a smart decision to go with York if it's close at all.
And to me, that pisses me off. Like, I've been very lenient with Kellen this whole time, but Sunday and now, and his decision now, like, just showing that you just, like, to me, it just comes off as, like, soft. Like, dude, do what you want to do. Like, show me something. Like, can you put your foot down? Like, can you, like, I'm just, like, I don't know, man. Obviously, it's frustration. This is a very frustrating week. We just lost to the Falcons, bro. And that's another thing, too. Like, and that's why I said strike two. It's like, the Falcons thing was already bad. We could have at least eased it a little bit and just fixed this, put this kicker thing to bed. But no, we signed Cade York, who quite literally has an identical kick field goal percentage, 69.2, as Blake Groupie. He has the same kicking percentage as Blake Groupie. He quite literally could be worse. And when we signed him, why? Over Justin Tucker, out of all people. And then the Justin Tucker thing is like, I mean, you know, if you don't even work him out, then I don't even know y'all, you know, Only reason why I'm thinking like, damn, we about to sign the greatest kicker of all time. Like, we don't have to worry about this kicker thing for a while. Thank you. We can finally get points. No, we bring in another flyer kicker, and we got to, what, hope he's good? He's not going to be.
Well, the Charlie Smith thing is crazy, and I know this call was done before that Charlie Smith was announced as kicker, but it's kind of wild because he's been in, obviously been in the building, and Kellen has always referred to it as just a developmental situation. Like, the Charlie Smith thing, they're kind of trying to make him a kicker. Like, you know, he came in raw, he has a rugby background or whatever, and he's kind of trying to – he is a developmental project as a kicker. And that's what Kellen said last week. He was like, well – because they asked about Charlie Smith, he's like, "Well, he's developing. Like, he's just kind of in that developmental role." And they bring in Cade York, and I'm thinking, "Okay, well, Cade York's going to be the kicker the rest of the year." So they bring in Cade York. So think about this: they work out Cade York and Justin Tucker. Okay, loser leaves town match. Cade York beats out Justin Tucker. Then Cade York has to go into a kicking battle with Charlie Smith, which I didn't even think they were going to do. Right? Why wouldn't you just do the kicker battle with Charlie Smith and Blake Groupie? Or just let Charlie Smith kick, whatever. But so then they go Cade York and Smith, and then Smith wins. So somehow in the fatal four-way match of Justin Tucker, Cade York, Blake Groupie, and Charlie Smith, the one that wins is the one that's been in the building, but not kicking. So we'll see how this goes.
He got cut before for a reason. He got cut actually for the exact same reason Blake just got cut. But instead of fixing it, I feel like you just put a Band-Aid over a leaking faucet. All you did was just, it's still leaking. We still don't have a kicker. But to me, it doesn't feel like that wasn't by choice. It's like, it's because you got scared or like bullied out of doing what you wanted to do with your own team. I understand you're a rookie head coach, but please, James, let me know if I'm tripping. The kicker thing really made me upset, though. I'm not going to lie. Shout out to you, James.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about...
False alarm. Disregard my last message. The very last one by Big K Superfan. Disregarded. And disregard this one. Shout out to you, James.
Damn it.
False alarm.
What happened? Big K, what? That was 2 days ago. So Big K Superfan dropped that message. It was listened to 3 days ago. Then he dropped 2 days ago, dropped that message. I don't know what happened. But we have to disregard it. Damn. Big K, what happened, brother? Big K, send a follow-up. What happened? What was the disregard for? Was there a video clip or something of Justin Tucker just missing field goals at the tryout? All right, there you go. We are caught up. We are fully caught up in viewer voice messages. Speakpipe.com, go ahead and send your message. The Dolphins game is coming up, so send your message in reaction to that. Thank you for watching, ladies and gentlemen. I will see you in the next video.